So I was just in the office in Vox Media's New York City headquarters, and some lovely journalism students came in dressed in their finery. These are the best dressed journalists or journalism students I've ever seen.
Were they wearing, like, lapels and
No, they were wearing clothes, which is really a step up. So they're from TCU, which I'm pretty sure was the school that Coach Taylor wanted to go to, but then turned it down in, what was that show? Friday Night Lights.
High school touchdowns of love.
Yeah.
So a bunch of journalists in seersuckers walked in.
Yeah, well, so they were actually from Texas Christian University, and here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Did they all talk like this?
Well, like this.
About
love Jesus. Let me tell you about my Lord and Savior.
Well, that was the thing, is that, so I walked in, and you know me, I'm straight talk express numero uno.
Yeah.
And I started off by saying, hey guys, don't be assholes at your job, because people will remember and never hire you again.
Good start.
And then I was like, oh, but they're like nice Christian kids from Texas. I don't want to offend them.
Regardless of their denomination, maybe don't start out any conversation with, hey, assholes.
Guess what? They're about to enter the world of journalism where a brusque talk is the norm. So I was just prepping them for reality.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay. Freshnik still thinks that he works for Newsroom on HBO.
I guess.
So I had this it was a straight talk express conversation. Mm-hmm. And I think I reached them until one of the gentlemen kind of fell asleep. But everyone else, I was reached. Everyone else,
it's just like in not Mr. Holland's Opus. What was that one where Robin Williams did the good teaching?
Mork and Mindy.
Awakenings.
Awakenings, that was it. Yeah. Thanks, everybody, for listening to our movie podcast.
Scenes. It's called Scenes with a Z. Justin McElroy, and I know the best thing of the week.
My name is Griffin McElroy, and I know the best thing of the week.
My name is Chris, and I'm a hip-hop all-star.
Okay.
My name is Russ Frushdick, and I know the best game of the week.
Return to form. He's getting back there. He's not quite... The bombast is gone, but the meter has reverted.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm mixing it up sometimes. It's like Def Poetry Jam.
It is. This is our deafest episode yet, I would say.
This is the Besties, where we talk about the latest and greatest in technology, gaming, and movies to bring you a show that you're not quite sure why you listen to, but you just keep going back.
I'll start for more. It. I watched the Tomb Raider movie on my Galaxy S1. Is that a phone?
Maybe.
I'm just saying, I just hit all of our key demos. Games, yeah. Games, movies, and
did you eat a pizza and drink Mountain Dew?
I didn't.
Oh, then you haven't really reached anyone, have you?
I'm allergic.
Who's got the best thing of the week that they want to talk about first?
I do.
Who wants to open this up? Russ Frushdick.
I do.
What is the best thing of the week?
My best thing of the week is the best reason to hate that motherfucker Snoopy.
Okay.
Hey. Ow.
Again, with the language, it's pretty harsh.
Cut him some slack.
You know, straight talk express. So I played a little game called Sid Meier's Ace Patrol today. Or
now,
not
who
today.
Made that?
I think that was Ken Levine made that, the maker of Bioshock.
It was a joke because you said his name in the title, so the joke.
Oh, I did. Oh, look at that. So it
what
was probably.
What if it was Sid Meier's Ace Ventura? Now I know what you're thinking. This isn't a very deep goof, well, but keep digging.
Well, I mean, this is our flagship episode of changing our direction to talking more about movies. So
that's true.
Ace Ventura 1 or AV2, guys? What do you prefer? I'm more of an AV2 man myself.
Yeah, I like WNC.
AV2 is much brighter and, I think lighter. More poop jokes.
He comes out of the rhino's asshole.
Yeah.
Yeah, he also is afraid of bats.
Oh, yeah.
Which is ironic because he likes...
Alrighty then, guys. I think we can move on.
Chicago.
Do not go in there.
Woo!
So I played a little game called Ace Patrol, and it's essentially, if you've played a Civilization game before, you might recall the moment in Civilization when you're like, damn, I really wish I had nuclear missiles, but instead I've got these shitty biplanes. It's pretty much the whole game is about those biplanes. But as it turns out, they're not so shitty. They're actually pretty cool.
It gets deep into them, their lives, their super, loves, their dreams.
Super deep into them. Essentially, it's a turn-based tactical strategy game where you are in command of a squadron of high-powered, for the time, biplanes. And essentially, you're using biplane tactics, which involve swoops and whirls and loop-de-loops and barrel rolls to blow Germans out of the sky. But all this is turn-based, so essentially you're making, you know, you're moving them around.
How do you?
That's good because I got too excited for a second. I'm glad
how do you weaponize these flights of fancy
machine guns? They use machine guns in World War One.
But you made it sound like you just do like a fun loop-de-loop, and a German sees you and explodes.
That happens if you're really good. That's what happens.
Okay.
It is too sick.
This is the stunts.
Yeah. No. You shoot them in the face with a machine gun, and they generally explode. Sometimes not. The vibe that I got from it was Fire Emblem-y. It was a little bit Fire Emblem-y, because you have those moments, or even XCOM, where you have those moments where it's like, oh, I'm going to do 33% damage to this guy if I bank to the left. But a lot of it is because you're flying this old school biplane. A lot of it is sort of setting up your rate of, as you're swooping in on them, like you can't take a 90 degree turn. So essentially, you have to like set up these swoops to be very tactical, and a lot of planning is involved. And yet, that's a lot of fun. It seems kind of dull when I describe it, but I'm pretty sure whenever I describe any game, it seems kind of dull. That's not really my strong suit.
Maybe you should think about changing professions.
What does it look like graphically?
It looks really cool. It's 3D. But it uses like the isometric view of like a Civilization. I would say it looks like Civilization 5, but like the graphics obviously aren't as good. Was that the last one, or is it 6? Was the latest one? 5.
5 is the latest.
Okay, so it looks like Civilization 5. Obviously, the graphics are not that detailed, but you can like spin the camera 360 degrees and zoom in and zoom out and all that junk. So and the planes look cool. They're like arts, you know, kind of. I wouldn't say comic booky, but, you know, artistically designed, very colorful, which seems to be the antithesis of, like, what you would want from a combat plane to make it very visible.
Do they have Wi-Fi?
Do the planes have Wi-Fi?
Yeah.
They have Wi-Fi.
I don't even know how to proceed after that just happened.
We stop.
What type of meals do they offer?
Now, Russ Freshstick, I'm of course downloading this now.
You should,
as I do with all
it's
your
free to play.
No, that means you're not going to pay attention to the rest
that's
of the podcast.
Definitely.
We knew that was going to happen anyway. Fresh, I noticed the game's free. How are they going to monetize this from me?
So here's the deal. Obviously, we all have issues with free to play games because they generally kind of suck. Here, it's I think it follows sort of the demo model of free to play, which is to say, you get a chunk of the game for free. And then if you want more missions and stuff like that, then that's when you're going to have to start paying. And I'm fine with that. It's not, you know, you're mostly, from what I understood, I could be wrong about this, but I didn't see any PvP options. So essentially you're unlocking single player missions. And those single player missions are, you know, if you want more, you just pay for more. It's not like a matter of like pay to win, which we all hate. It's just like, hey, you're paying to have more levels if you like the game. I'm gonna look online and make sure there's no multiplayer. I don't want to
tell tales out of school.
Yeah,
It sounds good. I like newer planes. It's really the honest to God only reason why.
So I would say I'm not a big biplane fan myself.
Yeah,
but
I like uniplanes.
What?
I've always wondered about them though. I mean, I'm.
Yeah, this is.
I'm bi curious. I think.
Holy. How?
It was good. I didn't even understand. I didn't know the setup was leading to that, which is why it was so good. That's like one of the fundamental elements of comedy.
Yeah.
I hope y'all.
Oh, there are multiplayer.
Give away my secrets. Okay.
Sorry, I should say there are multiplayer missions. So
are those pretty fun?
They are super fun, and I played so many of them. Every single one of them I played. No, it's free to play, which means your risk, like if you hate it, it costs you $0 to realize you hated it. But I effing love it. I think they did a great job.
Let's talk about something else.
Okay.
I want to talk about something. I want to talk about the, I know what I told you guys I was going to talk about, but I'm going to completely twist it on you. I'm going to change the game on you right now. And I'm going to talk about the best way to waste, absolutely waste, not like fruitfully used, to waste $20. And that is with Injustice on iOS.
Wait, that wasn't what you said you were going to bring.
Hear me just say that I was going to talk about something different than what I said I was going to talk about?
I know, and I don't approve of such a last-minute change.
Clearly. So Injustice on iOS, I got into it a little late. I beat the console game and was thrilled to discover that. Yeah, it was. I liked it.
Would you give it?
We didn't do a review of it. I'm not good at multiplayer fighting games, so Injustice appealed to me because it was a satisfactory story-based single-player experience, and it was really easy to do the sick moves.
How was the basic. Joker's voice?
You know what? It didn't bother me. I wasn't mad at it.
But it wasn't Mark Hamill, obviously.
No, obviously not. So
you ready for some joke bombs?
Whoa, is that Mark Hamill?
It's like he's here. So
I'm gonna kill you with. Sorry, go ahead.
It removes the problem of movement. There's no moving back and forth of your character. You're always at a, you know, moving to engage your opponent, and you tap the screen for a light attack, you swipe the screen for a heavy attack, and there's combinations of those. And then as you build up your super meter, you can perform different moves that you unlock as you go. And that's pretty much, there's blocking if you hold the screen with two fingers, or two thumbs, more realistically. And that's about it for the controls. So it's simple in that way, and as somebody who's not super deep into fighting games, it is it's you can sort of puzzle it out and see the strategies without having to learn a lot of the technical stuff.
It sounds approachable. Sounds vaguely Infinity Blade-y.
Yeah, that's not that.
But the controls are nothing like Infinity Blade.
No, the controls are very different. But the direction of your swipes is not really, it doesn't affect anything. It's just basically another input mechanism. So the interesting thing about the game is you can you have a collection of characters, and you start out with like bad ones that you wouldn't want to play. I think it's actually Nightwing, not even as appealing as Robin. First off, I got a ton of unlocks for beating the console game and achieving some goals there. It almost made me want to go back and play more to get the Batman Beyond unlock in the mobile game. Hmm. I know it's very tempting, but the as you play through these matches, you earn the currency of the game, which is like these little gold coin deals. And the thing that the part about wasting that I wanted to talk about is you can buy. You get these at a pretty slow rate for beating certain fights and getting through battles. But you can also buy them, right? So they sell them in different quantities. And you get bonuses for, you know, spending more money. So if you buy a bigger package, whatever. So for $20, you can get 192,000 gold coins, which is worth noting because that is still not enough to buy Superman, and barely enough to buy Batman or Wonder Woman.
Shut up.
This is not a joke.
A single character costs more than that.
Yes, a single character costs more than $20.
Is there any other way to unlock them?
Yes, I mean, you can grind.
Earned it.
Yeah, you can grind through and get money, but you're using the same currency that you use to buy characters as you use to upgrade your abilities.
Yeah.
So if you want to upgrade your power, if you want to buy a character like that, you're basically choosing to not upgrade the abilities of your heroes. It also has for the equivalent of, let's see, it sells booster packs for different denominations, and for the equivalent of, for 100,000, which is a little over $10, you can buy a gold booster pack, Okay.
Oh, it's one of those that, like random.
And that includes three cards, and they may or may not be worthwhile. They may or may not be the cards that you want.
Yeah.
Now the reason this is so sort of diabolical is that playing through the game, your characters gain levels, and any card that you obtain starts out at level one. So as you're playing through and raising the levels of a couple characters that you like, if somewhere in the back of your mind you're thinking, oh man, I'd really like to pick up this character, I wish I had them, you're aware that as you proceed in the game, you're actually getting to a point where they would be of no use. So right now I'm fighting level 20 opponents, and I'm going to unlock this level 1 character, and that's not going to... I'm not going to be able to they're going to be severely handicapped. Well, so the thought... I should mention also that you choose a 3-person team. And so you can have 2 super high-level characters and 1, dead weight character that just gets the benefit of the experience. But it's still like you're aware that you're losing time that you could be spending leveling a character you want by not having them.
So it sounds to me like, and correct me if I'm wrong, you could just delete the game and spend no money.
You could.
That seems like a pretty good option.
You could, except it's fun.
Is
it that fun?
Yeah, I mean it's fun. And if you like the basic mechanics are a lot of fun, and it does a lot of things right. One of the things that's kind of neat is if you log in on consecutive days, you get rewards. So if you log in 4 days in a row, then you get more coin bonuses. I actually like it, and I realize now saying that doesn't sound super appealing. it also each character has energy, and for putting them into a fight, you lose energy. Now I actually like that because it's sort of a forced... No, it's good for me because it's sort of a forced stop.
That's what the Gree people say when they're like, no, people like energy meters. You are causing this.
I kind of like the energy meters. It's your fault. It's kind of like it's a nice indication that hey,
you have brought this upon us.
How do you think this feels as a game designer? Right, like it's really hard to make a good video game. I mean, just that part, right? And then you get that right. You make a good video game, kind of a core game for iOS, and then you have to just mantle it and find a way to like monetize it in this ugly way that makes people not want to play a good game.
Forget that. You even were going to bring a much better game to this show today, and instead of that, you picked this heaping pile of garbage.
I read a rumor online that Justin only changed his mind because Warner Brothers promised to give him an in-game Superman.
Is that true?
I read it on Twitter and Tumblr.
Actually, in what is perhaps the most like the best, the biggest slap in the face for beating the console game, I did unlock Superman, but it's a Superman who has been imprisoned, so he's wearing like a jumpsuit and has been hindered from using his superpowers, so he's just very strong.
So he's just a guy.
Jeez. So he's just a guy who hits people really super hard.
On the box, does it say "Unlock Superman" asterisk for use in the iOS game?
A Superman.
That's basically accurate.
Unlock a better than average man.
It just seems like some of the pay structure is just really, really messed up. I mean,
money?
And so what? Has anybody else got?
No, I just want to know if you've spent any money.
Does anybody else have any?
Justin,
yeah.
Have you spent any money?
A little bit of money.
How much? You are the cause of this problem. You won't even admit how much.
I don't know. Some money. It's not a big deal.
Oh my god.
Not a big deal. I like superhero. Did I mention
you're the reason Whitney got 2 seasons on TV?
Did I mention that when you use a superpower, there are little touch mini games like you tap the screen to hit harder?
You are the worst. Okay, let's go to halftime.
you guys heard that Daft Punk album?
Oh, the only way I heard it was through someone's MacBook Air speakers, and it sounded not amazing. But maybe that's because it was.
Well, that's typically not the best way to listen to music.
It was in a conference room too.
I have to bump it on my Bose.
Do you like it? on my Bose.
Yeah, I mean, it's good if you like that kind of thing. It's a good album to watch robots have sex to.
Yeah, I like that kind of music, but I don't care for robots, so I feel a bit torn.
I mean, if you can't open up your mind, then you don't really deserve the music.
You're probably right.
Guys, did you hear about Survivor finale?
No.
God, this was one of the top three seasons of all time.
It was legit. And it's an important moment in Survivor timeline.
Can we just recap the events of Awakenings for people that don't remember it? Okay, so first Robert De Niro is just a dude, but then he falls asleep.
No, it's a coma. He falls into
What do you think a coma is?
But then he gets his brain back. But then his brain starts to go away. And then Robin Williams puts on the clown nose and hops in a giant pie.
And then turns into a robot and goes into the future.
And he goes, hoodaloo!
Anything else?
Oh, my God.
Seriously, that Survivor finale was really
good. Does nobody have anything going on that's important? Justin, you bought a new car.
What? Yeah, I did.
You decided on your car.
I did. I settled on a Beetle convertible.
Wait, I noticed this. Did you get a diesel?
Yeah, I did get a diesel.
I don't even know how to comprehend that. Isn't that what trucks take?
They do, but a lot more cars are using it, especially Volkswagen. Volkswagen makes most of the diesel cars out there. At first I was hesitant.
Now, are we using diesel as an adjective to describe how awesome the car is, or what?
You can if you like. Okay. I won't fault you, your 90s vernacular. But the diesel, I was not going to even fool with diesel until I found that the diesel version of the car gets 40 miles to the gallon highway.
So what is the downside to diesel?
Cost more.
It is a little bit more expensive. Yeah, I mean, obviously for this, the mileage balances that out pretty well. But
do you guys think that when Vin Diesel is in New Jersey, where you have to have your gas pumped by an attendant, that when he's asked what type of gasoline he wants in his car, he just gets livid?
Like, he lowers his sunglasses, and he's like, what do you think?
I'm more impressed that you knew that it's the law to have a gas attendant pump your gas in Jersey.
Well, sure, because if I hadn't specified the state, then one of you smartasses would have been like, why is somebody helping him pump his gas?
How did you know that, though?
Because I've done fucking 53 episodes of this podcast with you, jerks.
I think he means how did you know about the law, but yeah,
right, that's
fair.
What I meant.
that is an accurate question and answer. No, but it's been great thing. You put the top
color
down, you can zip around. Reflex silver
Get out of town.
I know, okay. Right? Can you just say gray?
My 2003 Toyota Matrix started out reflex silver. And now it's like bug grime gray.
Is it sparkly like those stickers from elementary school, or is it just
matte silver? I mean, it's just silver.
Oily one? Like
right,
those oily stickers?
I think what he wants to know is like a Lisa Frank silver.
Right, that's what I'm talking
about. Ice cream
vibe.
Silver.
Yeah.
Did you get that ice cream paint job? Is basically the question I'm asking. What's the fade like on your job?
The other car they had was blue, but they called it denim.
That is the worst color name ever.
Is it denim? Because that seems like a fabric to me. I think this is blue. Oh,
man. Could you buy it and then sue them for false advertising?
Excuse me, this is made of jeans.
Excuse me, I'm John Cougar Mellencamp, and I this is false advertising. I bought this car for a very specific reason.
Oh, God. Okay, let's talk vids.
Vid games.
Oh, man.
Who's next?
I'm nervous to talk about mine again. I always bring the shit that pushes that envelope. I don't know I didn't listen to last week's podcast, but I'm just imagining that you guys just left the envelope sitting there on the table.
Well, the envelope was left there on the table, but still open, and we glanced at it once and then closed it.
So my thing this week is the best gaming news story of the decade that is getting worse and worse with every passing day. And that is Shadow of the Eternals.
Give us the timeline.
Fuck, that's the thing. I don't even know where to start with this story because there's so many facets. So about, God, I can't, 2 weeks ago, I think now, IGN started teasing this announcement of Shadow of the Eternals, which would be a follow-up to Eternal Darkness, Sanity's Requiem.
A spiritual sequel.
A spiritual sequel, which Eternal Darkness is by a country mile, my favorite horror game of all time, and arguably the best GameCube game that was released. I adore that game. So I was psyched to hear about this. Then their Kickstarter, or sorry, not their Kickstarter, their crowdfunding campaign leaked ahead of the announcement, so they kind of had to trap, hack, and punt and reveal that, yes, it was going to be crowdfunded on their website, not on Kickstarter, and it was going to be an episodic game. We did a quick interview with the developer, who is a studio called Precursor Games, about its episodic nature. It's going to be about $5 a pop. First, the pilot episodes, they're targeting third quarter of 2014. Okay, so far, so good. Then shit started to go bad from there. It was discovered... Well, we found out through some reporting and through going over like court documents and stuff like that, that Precursor Games is composed largely of former Silicon Knights people. Silicon Knights being the beleaguered developer of Eternal Darkness, including Dennis Dyack, who was the studio head of Silicon Knights. I'm not actually sure what his position was, but it was up there. He was sort of the figurehead. He was the person in front of the media. He was the person whom was the blame of Too Human was almost entirely placed upon, which may or may not be fair. Silicon Knights is in, I would say, a little bit of legal hot water to the tune of $4.45 million.
$4.45 million. Okay.
Yes. In a suit that, actually a countersuit from Epic Games, which is so fucking complicated, I'm not even going to get into it. They're fighting against it, and the studio hasn't declared bankruptcy and hasn't shut down. We did an interview with one of the few remaining people still at Silicon Knights who said that there was no connection between Precursor and Silicon Knights, except for the fact that in these court documents we found, Silicon Knights sold Precursor Games art assets, computers, fucking chairs, like so much shit that it sounds like.
And there had to be some connection. I don't know. Didn't they need some sort of rights to, like, I guess it's not. It's a
Nintendo
spiritual
reserves,
sequel.
Nintendo reserves all the rights. Okay. They said in an interview that came out today on Game Informer.
Okay.
They said Nintendo reserves all the rights. That's why it's not an official sequel.
Gotcha.
And denied that the studio purchased all of the assets for Eternal Darkness that were still on the computers that they bought, because they had to wipe those computers as part of the Epic Games suit. When the court decided in favor of Epic Games, they had to wipe their computers and destroy every copy of Too Human and X-Men Legends?
Legends.
Okay.
Which is the question, then, why did they want those computers?
Destiny. X-Men Destiny, yes. So... Yes. That's shady that they're saying there's no connection between these two studios except that Dennis Dyack is leading up that one and we sold them all of our shit, right?
Yep, not good.
Not great. In order for Epic Games to file a suit against Precursor, they would have to basically start a new lawsuit from scratch. So basically Silicon Knights has been whittled down to just a few people whom I imagine and whom Mike Mays, the chief financial officer of Silicon Knights, he said that they are basically still around and that they are basically full-time fighting the Epic suit. Okay, so that's all pretty shady. Let's get into the actual crowdfunding campaign. They said that they couldn't do a Kickstarter because they're based in Canada. So let's remember that, which is true. It's mainly a UK and US thing, Kickstarter is. So they had their own crowdfunder on their site for $1.5 million. Which would go towards making the pilot episode, and based on the first draft of their crowdfunding page that was up on their site, only the pilot episode. Which I say only because they had a hint of what the first stretch goal was, and it was sort of like this image where the second stretch goal was a little bit obscured, but you could read that it very clearly said episode 2. So you're talking about doing an episodic game. You're raising $1.5 million for the pilot episode, which is like, that still doesn't seem like a whole heck of a lot. Like, they would obviously have to get a lot more funding in order to make a video game, even a short few hour long pilot episode for the series. But then to say, like, but if you give us enough money, then we'll do a second episode. Does that imply that if you don't meet that stretch goal, that it's just going to be the first episode?
That's
like
it?
You're mixing. Yeah, it's the first of 12 episodes. Enjoy it, because it's 4 hours and it's all you get. They have since removed that image.
Oh, good for them.
So that has been revised. They also said, and I have to be very careful about the language here, that their crowdfunding campaign collected donations up front. So instead of being like Kickstarter, where you donate and then the donation goes through once they meet their goal.
Yep.
Once you donate, it is theirs.
Your money is gone.
Right. It belongs to them. They said that a donation cannot be canceled or returned once it has been completed, whether or not Precursor Games completes the game or fulfills a specified reward.
So essentially, if they collect $500,000 and decide, no, that's not really enough to make a game, well, they're going to Tahiti.
That page also contradicts itself, because it says that the goal is a flexible one, and that if it becomes apparent that they cannot raise enough to develop the project, then they'll refund all pledges.
Oh.
So, like...
But that's not, like, legally binding or anything.
It's not legally binding. They say if it looks like we're not going to hit our goal, yeah, sure, we'll give your money back, but that goal is flexible. Like, what the fuck does that even mean?
Yikes.
That's banana cakes. It also said, the website also said that the donations are considered strictly donations and not consideration for any services or product, a.k.a., like, yeah, we're on the hook for $4.45 million, and...
Yeah, we need to pay our lawyer, is what this sounds a whole lot like.
Maybe. Here's the thing. They put out a nine-minute-long video, like a demo of one of the beginning stages, and it looked fucking good. Like, it looked...
Too Human looked good when I saw it.
Well, it came out. Like, it looked like they had done some work on it.
At Silicon Heights.
So, maybe. Last week, I believe it was last week, I remember my topic was the best reason to be wary of, or maybe that was 2 weeks ago, best reason to be wary of Kickstarter. And
let me get to this then.
Yeah.
Because last week they also launched a Kickstarter campaign.
Lovely.
Alongside their crowdfunding page, which I should mention, they modeled to look exactly like Kickstarter. The goal for this one is $1.35 million, which seems like a kind of arbitrary number until you realize that they had raised $150,000 on their own crowdsourcing campaign. So adding that up.
That's the rest of it.
That's the rest of it.
Even though Kickstarter takes a percentage. So
Kickstarter does take a percentage. Kickstarter also, unless there's some special exception I don't know about, not going to take the money unless they meet that $1.35 million goal.
Right.
So, like, that's crazy, and a lot of the language on the Kickstarter page is different from what was on their crowdsource page, namely that they don't list the second episode being a stretch goal, so on and so forth. So it's like, if this is something that they... Eternal Darkness came out when? 2002
or around there?
Maybe, that region.
Yeah.
You've had 11 fucking years to think about how you want to do this, and you could not have dropped the ball... Any big, like, I went from saying I will drop a couple fucking hundos to see this sequel that I have wanted my entire adult life come to fruition. Like, I have no reason to believe that you're not just going to take this money and run.
Yeah. So what I was saying the other week when I was talking about Star Command, which is you should be very wary about how you spend your money on Kickstarter, because obviously, you know, you're not paying for a product, you're paying for a promise of a product, and you have no idea whether the company will actually deliver on what they're promising. In the case of this game, if the connections to Silicon Knights are accurate, which it certainly sounds like they are, this is a company that has put together some of the worst games of the last decade. Like, the worst games of the last
decade. I wouldn't say the worst. I would say among the most disappointing.
Have you played X-Men or Too Human? They are both awful games.
Yeah, can I just say something? I just want to interject real quick. Did anyone on this call play all of X-Men Destiny?
You.
Is that what it was called?
I think that was just you.
Okay, just me? I would not trust these motherfuckers with a ice cream cone in the wintertime. I would not trust these motherfuckers with my dog's leash if I had a second leash attached to that dog and I was holding it at the same time. They made a game that not only did they, like, squander the license, perhaps, like, unbelievably badly, they made a game that was, like, hostile to play. It was an antagonizing experience. It was a nightmare. And these people are coming to you saying, just give us 1.5 milo and we will definitely set you up with a really good game.
Let's get let's make something straight, because like trust of quality aside, we should make sure we don't libel. I'm not saying that they are inherently like untrustworthy as a studio. What I am saying is that they have done nothing to ease their potential supporters' minds that they know what they're doing. Like they to have one crowdfunding campaign that you edit after people aren't so crazy about some of the terms and conditions, and then launch a second one alongside it, and then like keep changing your story on whether or not you are this company that is like being drowned in legal problems at the same time. Like you haven't done a single thing to, except for release a 9-minute long video showing off the game, which we don't know when you made that. Like you've done nothing to make me trust you. And trust is like the most valuable commodity you can have, A, before a game is released, and B, when you're fucking asking for money for it. Like and another thing I should mention is that the Kickstarter has been going, I think, for 2 days now and has raised $58,000 of $1.3 million. So their crowdfunding campaign has been reverted to a PayPal option. So okay, it no longer has the goal that they have reflect. They've raised $155,000. So it seems like the Kickstarter is like now their main campaign, and this is just for people who want to pledge directly through the site, for people for whom Kickstarter is not an option. So that explains the $1.5 million.
So right now they have $200,000 that they've raised.
A little over, like, $200,000.
But the Kickstarter money will presumably go back to Kickstarter, well, be refunded automatically, because there's pretty much no way in hell they're actually going to hit their number of $1.5 million.
I mean,
they're right now trending towards $730,000,
right?
Or 54%.
Yeah, but that's assuming that they maintain the same level of income over the next month, which they
I'm not saying it's impossible. Honestly, I haven't donated yet because I don't trust them. The thing that puts me off more than anything else is you're saying you're making an episodic game that we are funding the very first episode for. Like that's like saying, hey, we've got this new hit NBC series that we are definitely doing one episode. So get involved. You're going to love it.
But see, that's weird for me, because if you back at $25, you get episodes 1 through 5. So
what happens if they don't actually come out?
Right.
Where's the rest of the money coming from? Like, I don't understand.
Very sketchy.
I'm saying if they can come out and like give us a fucking straight answer, like, are you guys actually Silicon Knights? Like, what... Why did you have to start a new studio if you don't have the $4.45 million that you need to like settle shit with Epic Games? And if it's looking like the wind is starting to turn in their direction, like that is something that I, as a potential funder of a game development project you have, would like to know. Like, and I'm saying if they can come out and be forthwith about that shit, I don't know. Maybe they'll make it, but it's looking pretty unlikely.
Yikes.
Anyway, that's
lovely.
That's
an upper. Chris Bryant, bring it home.
I have to word it right. I have the best way to remake a retro franchise, and that is Thunderwolves on PC and maybe other stuff.
You've heard of it, right?
Thunderwolves? You've been counting down the days.
I don't know of any retro games that weren't just like Metroid Prime and those games.
So
that's the oldest game that Russ.
Wait, are you talking about Retro the Studio or literally retro like old games?
Oh, I can see how you're confused because that is the twist. Thunder Wolves is a very poorly concealed remake of the Desert Storm and Thunderstorm games.
Oh yeah, SNES.
Yeah, well, no, Sega Genesis is
whatever
you would have played them on if you had any taste. But. Yeah, you play as a helicopter, and you blow up tons of crap.
Yeah,
and then you pick up people by landing and waiting for them to get on your ship, or you lower this little rope down and pick up boxes.
I like to picture you as anthropomorphic. Like, there's not a man flying you. You're just like this helicopter that's bopping around.
You're just a badass talking helicopter. And it even takes place in 1991 in an offensive version of the Middle East in which you blow up oil fields.
This is the original, or are we talking about...
No, this is... Well, it's both, but now it's in 3D, and it's called Thunderwolves, and it's not made by EA. But otherwise, it feels exactly like a modern version of that game. And why I think it is the best way to remake a retro game is there's no burden to the license, right? Like, no one expects this to be, and I'm sorry, it's Desert Strike, I believe is the actual name. But no one expects it to be that game. They have no, you know, they can still love that it's like a classic game, but not be like crushed that it doesn't have, you know, every little story beat that they liked about the original.
Because there are tons of story beats that people remember from the original.
You know what? I'm talking broadly about remakes, but I am constantly amazed by what expectations people have whenever, you know, an old game is brought back, where they have a very specific thing they loved and they expect it to be, you know, perfectly portrayed.
As far as I'm concerned, all I remember from the original game is that, as described, you were a helicopter, you blew shit up, you mm-hmm. picked people up. That's yeah. all I remember about that yeah, game.
They nailed that. They expanded it, though, now. There's also submissions where you are in a gunner seat.
Okay.
It flies around for you, and you can shoot from first person. And there are there's a sniper type of mission where, you know, you go in and you snipe people from your helicopter. And
that's not very sneaky.
I don't think it's legal either.
No. Oh, nothing about it is legal. I mean, you are breaking the law because you're a mercenary and you don't play by the rules. And they're like, hey, try not to blow stuff up so much this time or else we're going to have to dock your pay again. And you're like, pay? I'm not in it for the pay. I'm in it for the murder. And then you... And then you shoot everything.
So Retro Studios actually made this game originally?
No, it was made by a studio. I don't know.
Was this before or after Donkey Kong Returns?
Oh my god, you're killing me.
Okay, so this is being kickstarted. What's the story?
It's on PC.
Oh, it's out already.
Most Wanted Entertainment. You can download it on Steam. I think today. I think it came out today.
So it's out already. Have you
yeah.
played it?
Yeah, that's what out today means.
I don't...
What's wrong, Griffin? What do you need? What can I do for you?
I just don't care.
Yeah, I don't care either.
Guys,
like,
I'm gonna be honest with you. I don't care about your lame ass superhero iOS games. I don't care about Dayak.
Biplanes.
Whatever. God, and your Snoopy thing, you bored me to death. God, guys, my game had a helicopter, a fast talking Merc.
Does the helicopter have like witty catchphrases
it basically does because you
does
don't
he sound like Mr. Feeny?
And no, why would he sound like Mr. Feeny?
You're trying Mr. Matthews, please stop shooting those children. Stop raising that child village, Mr. Matthews.
I will sign the Declaration of Independence.
Sit down, helicopter. Somebody open up a...
Oh, man, I thought this wasn't going to be good, then really saved it.
You righted that plane.
Who won?
Oh, man, I think Griffin won.
Yeah, Griffin definitely locked
this one up. Yeah, I'm
pretty
sure Griffin won.
I did the research. So that's going to do it for us this week on The Besties. Thanks for listening. As always, you can subscribe to us on iTunes on The Besties. Leave a review, share with your friends. You can go to polygon.com to read our works, to read our opuses.
I have to plug something.
Oh, please.
So some of you might know that on May 21st, which is next Tuesday, Microsoft will be unveiling their new Xbox console. Mm-hmm. We'll have live coverage, as we always do with these things, but that includes a pre and a post show from the press conference, which is super exciting, hosted by our very own Justin McElroy. He'd be here to talk about it if he could be.
I'm here.
You could talk about it. Anyway, Justin's going to be on camera talking about the new revelations, and we'll be cutting live to our people on the ground in Seattle or Redmond, wherever. And it'll be a really cool show, so you should definitely tune into that on May 21st during the day.
I am intoxicated by the stuff I know that nobody else does about this event.
Yeah.
How about this?
Whoa.
How about this? Shadow of the Eternals. It's
launch title. Always online.
It's launching on Xbox 720's proprietary new media format, which is to say ghost discs. Spectral discs.
Very exciting.
So make sure you join us for that. It's going to be a lot of fun. And that's going to do it for this week on the Besties. And make sure to join us again next week for the Besties. Because shouldn't the world's best friends pick the world's best things?
Besties!